Good afternoon. Hi. It's kind of interesting, noisy environment. Hopefully you can hear me okay. Can you hear me okay? Yeah. I got only 20 minutes. So I know my title is Intelligent Database. Really, 2 seconds. I'm Lindsay Allen. I'm the Group Program Manager from Database Systems. And I'm responsible for Azure SQL Database and the SQL Server Core Engine. Conference call. So before I start showing the demo, we'll figure out what can fit. Why intelligent database? Here's what we think developer developers wants for a database, right? And they want it faster, cheaper, and more secure. So you can focus on the cool stuff you build, right? Focus on building your apps, not worried about your database going to be there or not, going to cost you too much money, and or somebody going to access your data. So that's why we actually added lots of features in really into the infrastructure and the platform to make it intelligent. In a sense, is we're building lots of knowledge, expert system into the platform, so you don't have to worry about lots of basic stuff, you know, basic performance tuning. You rather spend the time actually work on your application, and we will monitor your workload and make recommendations how to save cost, right? Because if you start with a provisioning-only model, generally, applications tend to over-provision because most applications are very spiky, right? Then the security. We have actually very advanced security active monitoring system. Based on these machine learning algorithms, we're monitoring different access patterns, and we make your data as secure as possible. We'll send you alert if something abnormal happens. I'm not going to talk about features, but a couple of things I think as a developer of a distributed application you care about is topology. When you build an app, when your application become popular, right, you're starting deploying them worldwide. You have to figure out how to actually give your application users best performance. There's a CDN for serving web pages, right? Content delivery network, and the serving static pages. And if your application actually have interaction with your data, you want your data closer to your app so you don't serve static pages. That's why SQL Azure have, or SQL Server have it too, doing this active geo-replication. Really, just like you can click a button on the web page portal to do it, or do a single statement alter database, set a synchronous replica, and the replica can be anywhere in the 38 Azure regions. It's available everywhere. So effectively, the geoactive secondary database are your data CDN. We have customer actually deploying in such a fashion. They want the data closer to their user because they don't have static content for their web app. Of course, then there's Data Sync. Data Sync been around, been public preview for a very long time, and now we're making the V2, and we're going to actually go public preview in next month, and then we're going to officially support it as SQL Azure feature. And it's supported bidirectional, and because it's built on sync framework, it's really application protocol, so can sync your data across any SQL Server instances, on-prem or in SQL Azure. And it really meant not for very high volume transactions right now. It's for reference data, for occasionally connected devices. And if you have high volume data ingestion and data synchronization, we should look at other ways, right? Okay, have okay. Hello? Okay. 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 yeah, you keep the volume lower, I talk louder about that. So, yeah, good, thank you. So, 20 minutes, really, I only have 15 minutes, and I have lots of things I can demo. So, in the past 2 days, I tried to figure out what to demo to fit in 20 minutes, and it actually kind of makes sense. We have lots of intelligent features. So I'm going to show it in this order, and hopefully I can get through graph. How many of you know SQL have a graph? One. Oh, a few more. Okay. So SQL is a very powerful engine, right? Put the graph on top is it's really adding lots of syntax and new object support for you to actually have a graph database and actually build a graph-enabled applications. So I would start with security because the reason I'm doing that, because security always afterthought for some reason, right? I know we're guilty of it. Generally, you start build a cool app and you deploy it, and then somebody come along says, what about security? What about compliance? So I thought I would start with security and so give you an idea. We're actually doing a lot of this for you. You can actually leave security alone for quite a bit. You just focus on your app. So what is our threat detection? It's active monitoring for abnormal access patterns. That's either through SQL injection attacks. There's all sorts of different patterns doing SQL injection attacks. Or there's somebody supposed to access through a certain range of IP address, and suddenly the username password is still valid, but they're accessing from different IP addresses, right? For example, employee get fired, right? You didn't terminate a user account for not in time, they can access. And it is integrated with OMS, Operation Management Suite, so everything we have integrated with OMS. So you can actually manage everything together, like a whole single pane of glass to see all your application or your databases. And it's part of Azure Security Center. So I will switch, since I only have one computer. So it's basically is your customer database, and you can, it's on the web, you have your customer's information, you can do basic search. If I look for Ian and or return customer named Ian, and if I go back and it's just like that, right? It's very simple. And unfortunately, the developer did this, decided not to be very secure. And so if I go back, I will log out. Let me try to log in again. So the developer decided not to be very secure, not validating the login properly. So let me simulate a SQL injection attack. And so if I do, this is always true, right? And then you can type in any password, whatever, should just keep logging. So that's just like bad practice, right? So what do we do? We actually send you an alert. Oh, now I need to load out my email. Hope it shows up. And if you go to, how does this work? If you go to the Azure Security Center, not Security Center, this is my sample database. And you turn the threat detection on and off. Just with the button. I need to wait for my email to show up. And you can see threat detection. It's just a button on or off, right? And if you go back to the, that's really simple. Turn on, then you can choose the email address to send the security alert to. And if I close this blade, if I go back there, I want to see if the email shows up or not. Sorry about my... So I received alert from from Azure Security Threat Detection. Tell me there is an unfamiliar principal successfully locked down, right? If I click this, it'll get me to the portal, which I already there. This portal gonna take a while to load. I'll close it. And you can see this is new security blade per database. You can see it. You can see it per pool as well. And it looked like I got lots of alerts because we've been testing it, right? Just hope your database doesn't have so many alerts. And if you go click on that, and it will show up all the alerts being fired recently, and you see the coloring will show you the different level of how critical this alert is in your database, right? And if you pick one, for example, potential SQL injection attack, it shows this is a new alert. And if you double click on that, it start to drill down, right? It tell you this active alert and is high. And it will give you a lot more details of how this happened from the information and actually give you steps how to correct it, best practice recommendations. And this is actually integrated with Azure Security Center as well, right? So you can actually go from here. They're gonna take a while to load. You can see all the security alert from the security center as well. And you see my database shows up here. I have several databases, people being running tests, and the alert shows up here collectively. Any questions about threat detection? No, it's good. Okay, I'm gonna close this one. Back to, let me try to show you a graph right now and see. So I have, oh, I do have automatic plan regression. See if this works. So I don't know how many of you know the query store. We shipped it with SQL Server 2016 query store. Yeah, it'll capture your query plan and will help you monitor the regressions. But you actually have to take action, right? If you notice the plan is not good, you have to go force the plan. So what we did differently now is we made it automatic. So we will do automatic plan regression correction for you. And if I can fit this all in one window, maybe you just need to see the right side. Let me refresh this. Okay, see the plan is forced because we're doing an automatic CF. If I refresh, this little app should correct all that. The force should be gone. Okay, the plan forcing is gone. And I'm going to cause a regression. Hope this happens. Come on. Yeah. See the plan regressed. And so if I refresh, there should have a slow plan going on. See, you see a slow execution, right, happening. And now this is actually, you see the application is not slow anymore. So what happened underneath is we noticed there's more than 20-30% of performance regression on your query. So we automatically do a plan forcing. So you don't have to do anything, we'll do it for you. So you don't have to go to query store for every database to see if there's a regression on the query performance and decide what to do. So this is in SQL Azure and in SQL 2017 as well. Graph. So let me go back, close to this. I have a big Elastic pool, I have lots of database in there. I'm gonna close it. So, actually I have a few slides to show you before I, let me open this anyway. Okay, let me go back to my slides for a minute. Because graph take a little bit of explanation, so I think worth how many minutes I have left. Oh, 5 minutes, wow, okay. So you can actually implement most of graph capability in T-SQL, but it's really difficult, right? think about if you have hierarchical interconnected data and all these recursive self-joins, many-to-many relationship, complex many-to-many relationships, and query that, so like create that relationship in relational tables is the schema is difficult, right? Query that is a big headache. Yeah, at least a minimum three-way join, you have to find all the keys, right? And so that's why Graph become popular in relationship-based applications, CRM, and or just recommendations, right? Your friends like something and like something else, I might want to recommend you the similar thing. So we decide to take advantage of the powerful column store storage engine query processing capability and massive parallel processing in SQL Server, and to put a graph capability on it. So as you can see, this is just on top of SQL. Now we support a node. That's the subject, right? Ages are relationships. And we added a new syntax, new graph syntax for you to do the match, pattern matching. With one line, you don't have to write a 10-way joins, just to try to figure something out. It's completely part of SQL. Batch load, backup restore, HA always on, everything works, right? Because the engine didn't change. And it's in SQL Azure and in SQL Server 2016 as well. So 3 minutes, I'm going to show you, I don't know if I'm going to get to it. I'm going to build a recommendation system using Graph, right? So because there's all sort of different ways to build a recommendation system. And the effectiveness of building recommendation system using Graph is you can actually traverse the relationship to have a more effective targeting. And in retail, in this case, I'm going to recommend the sums, right? So there's the public data sets, million song data sets, including Lady Gaga's song in there. Then the Echo Nest have a user profile, what kind of song they like. These are public data sets. I have the credit there as well. So the simple method to recommend the songs using Graph, right? There's your user, like customer, listener, and there's the songs. And between me and my friends, for if I'm user one, if I like song two, and then some other users, three and four, like song three. But what else do I like? Oh, sorry. Then because of there's a similar pattern, because they like song three, there's a similarity, maybe I'll like song three as well. Then you can use this to traverse relationship to recommend songs, right? So to implement a graph in SQL actually is simple. It's a new table type. You create a table as a node, that's a node. So in this example, I create a unique user. And then, of course, the songs, it's a node table as well. So the key thing is to create the age table. So which user like which songs, right? This is the many-to-many relationship you actually have to load to create. So let me switch over quickly to show you in Management Studio. 1 minute. So quickly look at the raw data. And so if you look at the this is a unique soundtrack. So we just loaded from million row data sets, right? So unique tracks have track ID, song ID, artist name, and the song name, everything. And to user, the unique user table is a little simpler, and we load it from there. So then the key thing is how to actually populate the graph data. So create a node and ages is not so hard. You select distinct from the user, right? Since we're out of time, I want to show you how to load the relationships. So first of all, if the node is loaded, because so this is something new. So we have a node ID, which is actually, it's the GUIDs, right? The node ID. And then I need to make this bigger so you can see. The user ID, that's from the data. And these big int numbers are offsite, basic offset to tell you the position of that row in that node. And so The node ID is something new, right? So what do we need to do when you actually load it? We give you a way to not actually type in all this. It's a too complicated typing grid to actually load your data, right? So we have a pseudo node ID. So you just say from ID, $ from ID, and the to ID, because the relationship between two nodes, right? And then you just have to define it in joins. So instead of you have to do cursors, go through rows, load many to many tables, huge headache, it's just simple set operation. And since this is a million users, a million songs, and this relationship table have 48 million rows, because it's a cross joins, right? And so fairly straightforward for you to load. And if you look, there's the relationship table just a bit, it will actually have a two ID, two ID from ID, and have a like ID. And these are, because of we match, use the set operation, they all link together. So quickly, I'll show you how to query it, right? Come on. Okay, so for example, if I want to look for the user, this is a new syntax as well, match syntax. So you see you start with the table U, that's a unique user, right? So you want to recommend to a whole group of user, not a single user, right? If you're running an e-commerce site, somebody went and bought tennis shoes, right? You want to recommend that to somebody else, whoever comes to the website. So for the user, liked this song, because I aliased it, right? Just a Just Dance, I think that's Lady Gaga's song or something. For somebody liked Lady Gaga's music and look for anything that's a similar song, right? And all you really need to do is see, we know how to do set operations, we know how to aggregate it. Let me turn on the actual query plan. This demo actually itself takes 25 minutes. I'm trying to rush this. So see how fast it is. It's done. Because it's a column store, it's just like a second. Actually, I think it's less than a second. It's finished, the 48 million rows, right? We scanned through it. And if you look at the query plan, it's a generally very complex query plan. I think I should go all the way down here. It's used a column store because you can create, I create a column store index on node and edge table and the relationship table both. And so this way I can actually do in column store index scan in batch mode. That's why it's so fast. And last but not least, and I think this visualization. Visualization, you can do it in Power BI as well. The reason I'm showing you this is because we have R integration in SQL, right? And one great thing about R is not about all the scripts, everything. It's about they have, actually, you can visualize it with your scripts side by side really easy. So one of the most popular package are these, the graph, iGraph. It will actually plot your data frames, right? And our integration is literally integration with SQL. You can basically put a SQL the same, similar, because I did a top 500, and your SQL match scripts in your R as input frame, and it will generate output and render it. I will show you what it just looked like. This will actually end up, I think I had it open somewhere, come on. I think it's on my desktop, let me find it. Too many window open. It. Things in here. It will plot something like this. I'll admit, oh, view, do this. Zoom out. It can plot these, whatever data frame output can be as in part of your reports, right? This I plot out as clusters. So you can plot out the different graphs in iGraph. And it works with Power BI as well. We have add-in. I'm out of time, and I have lots more to show. Is anybody after me? Oh, sorry. My Twitter handle is heard. OK. podcasts. So if you have questions, you can find me. Thank you.